You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Let's get back to You Betting You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
Final hour here on You Betting You Bet. I'm Kate Costello. He's the Mark Drumheller. Final hour means it is our power hour. We're going to give out all of our best bets in the final segment of the show. I have a couple in the NBA tonight. Mark has some in the NBA. Actually, Mark's got a cross-sport, multi-sport parlay that he's going to give out. Also, some single individual bets across all sports as well. So we'll have plenty of those for you coming up in just a little while. We're also going to talk Kentucky Derby with Matthew DeSantis, the horse racing handicapper. He's going to tell us how to bet the Derby tomorrow. Torpedo Anna just won the Kentucky Oaks. Mark, confession. My husband was asking me for bets for the Kentucky Oaks. I didn't know what to tell him last night. So I just threw out a name based on what I had seen from the experts online, copied and pasted it just to get him off my back. He'd been bugging me about it, like texting me all morning. And I'm like, dude, I'm trying to work. I need you to stop. So I just threw out a name and it was Torpedo Anna and the horse won. So now I look like a genius to him, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself.
Yep, and your big reward is going to be more texts when the next horse race comes up, right?
Seriously.
Like now he's not going to let you go. So is it going to be like payback time? Like when he's working, are you going to fire him off like questions about information with his job?
I might have to. He's smart and just doesn't respond to me most of the time. He pretends he's working really hard. I'm the sucker that like actually caves, but Torpedo Anna 4-1. So not like she was the horse was a big long shot, right? But still, hey, a win is a win. Money is money. That's what we like to see. We're going to talk to Matthew DeSantis next, like I mentioned, and get his reaction to this. He's been on a live stream all day. He's a content producer for NYRA Bets. Covering racing. So he's been on a live stream talking about the Kentucky Oaks and the Derby for like 4 hours. So I'm interested to see if all the predictions that he had leading up to this race, if those rang true with who won, any trifecta bets, all that good jazz, both for the Kentucky Oaks and then tomorrow's Derby. Are you doing like a Derby party tomorrow? Are you wearing like the pastel color seersucker suit? You're going to have a cocktail in hand and watch the Derby, or what goes on in the Drumheller house?
No, I wish, man. It's Dance Cop weekend, so I'll be running around like crazy, I'm sure, during the day, trying to get back in time, you know, so I can settle in and watch the UFC fights. But that'll pretty much be the majority of my day. But Dance Cop weekend is always hectic for all the dads out there that take part in that and have that. They know they know what it's like. So, you know, you got to get a good night's sleep. You got to be ready to go.
Dance comp weekend for you. You're going to be busting out the moves. Is that what you're telling me?
No. For my daughter. Dance comp weekend for my daughter. Know. But it's a huge weekend, a massive weekend. So a lot of running around, lots of, you know, chaos. So it'll be fun. It'll be good.
I'm always impressed by dancers because I have two left feet. Like, I cannot dance to save my life. Before, I just got married this last August, and my husband told me to go take dance lessons before our first dance. And I'm like, that would be so fun. Like, oh, that's so cute. We can do that together. And he's like, I'm not going. I don't need them. You're the one that needs them. So I did not go take dance lessons by myself for my wedding. But I cannot dance to save my life. So shout out to your daughter doing some dance competitions. Always jealous of people who have good moves and good rhythm. All right, time to give out some bets in the Major League Baseball on the diamond tonight. We have quite a few games that are starting fairly soon, and then some more later tonight. Orioles and Reds, rain delay, top of the first. Game hasn't even gotten underway, and we're already in a little delay. But we have quite a few that get started within the next 45 minutes or so. So our resident MLB expert, Jake Hassan, come on in here and give us some of your plays for today.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because I really liked the Orioles in that game against the Reds. So that's kind of a bummer because I wanted to fade Hunter Green at home. I'll still give that out because assuming this game gets played at some point today, let's cross our fingers. I don't know. I'm not a weather expert, but I will say Orioles team total over 4.5. I like that. I like them on the money line as well. I like Adley Rutschman to hit a home run in that game as well. Again, assuming it gets played. Hunter Green has been bad at home. He's a 4.94 ERA when he's pitching at Great American Ballpark this season. So want to take the Orioles. They're a great team, obviously, there. I'm also going to take the Royals on the money line. They've been my team all year. I love this team. They're going for 20 wins. One of the only few teams to have 20 wins so far this season. I really like them against the Rangers. Rangers just have not been right all year. Corey Seager has been brutal. That pitching staff is a mess. They got Michael Lorenzen making starts now off the street, so I like the Royals a lot. I'm also going to go Giants on the first five money line against Mark's Phillies. I know it's Aaron Nola on the bump, and that's scary, but Jordan Hicks has been awesome as a starter. Giants took him from the Cardinals, took him out of the bullpen, made him a starter, and he's been great, and some of the hitters in this Giants lineup have really good history against Aaron Nola, so I'm going to bet that he makes one of his classic mistakes and serves up a home run to somebody, and Jordan Hicks is nails, as he has been the whole year, so like the Giants on the first 5-2. There's a wrong team favored game big time. I cannot believe that we're still doing this thing with the Houston Astros where we make them favorites against anybody. It doesn't make sense to me. Ronald Blanco's going, and he's been great. He's been awesome since that no-hitter. Great story. Blah, 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 blah. Don't care. The Mariners are playing way better. George Kirby's on the mound. I get it. And at first glance, Kirby has an ERA over 4, but he has a FIP that's 2.05, has only allowed 2 earned runs in his last starts. He's an ace. He's a Cy Young contender. He's really good, and the Astros are terrible. I want to fade them every which way. They are just a miserable team. I hate them, so I'm going to take Seattle on the money line because I think they should be favored in this game. I'm also going to go Red Sox on the first five. I usually don't like backing the Red Sox at all, but Tanner Houck has been really good. They've just been letting him eat. I don't trust that Red Sox bullpen at all whatsoever, but I'll back Houck in the first five. The Twins, I'm sorry, Kate, I can't do this with the Twins. Great, they've won 10 in a row. I don't like them. I hate their team. Chris Paddock as a favorite, like, what are we doing here? He's fine, but Houck's been awesome. Maybe the Red Sox get one run early, and then Houck's just awesome. I don't trust their bullpen at all. Would never take them on the full game line, but first five, the Twins, I'm not doing this, no. And the just for funsies, like I said, Adley Rutschman, I think that he's due, and Hunter Green loves to serve up a couple home runs whenever he's at home. And that's the card.
Jake, what about the White Sox? Betting against them, right? Like, you can't take, yeah, obviously you're not going to bet on the White Sox. I hope you would stop me right there. Cut me off. Don't let me be on air if I was going to bet the White Sox. Watch them go on and win tonight. Okay, I'm not going to take the Cardinals on the money line because you're laying, minus 290. But basically betting whoever's playing the White Sox on the run line. Like, most nights that's profitable. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
You like them again?
I mean, it's
no Sonny Gray.
Yeah, 100%
for the Cards.
Yeah, right. Sonny Gray's been really, really good. The way that I was going to bet this game was just going to take a couple of stolen base props at big prices for Cardinals. Lars Nootbaar is 8-1. Mason Winn is better than 4-1 because Martin Maldonado is just miserable. They signed him for his defense, but he's like 72 years old at this point. He's been around the league on like 8 different teams. He can't throw anybody out. His throwing metrics are god awful. So the Cardinals aren't a team that runs a ton, but if you want to take a couple of shots with some stolen base props, that's how I would fade the White Sox tonight.
Jake, let's stick on the theme of bad teams. Like, one of the things I noticed earlier in the season is I feel like the ceiling is very low for some of these teams. You look at the Angels, now they lose Mike Trout. You have the White Sox, even the Astros. You talked about them. We can include them, right? 11 wins on the year. They're as bad as it gets. Do you think, is it something uncommon? Like, do you think that's going to kind of like regret, we'll see positive regression that way? Or do you think that these teams are just going to sputter out for the entire season? Like,
I think it's a team by team basis. Like, okay, let's use the Astros as an example. They still have everybody from those World Series teams. Kyle Tucker's still there. Jose Altuve is playing like an MVP, and I do think there's value on him at AL MVP. He's better than 30-1 still, and he's tied with Juan Soto for most statistical categories. Home runs, RBI, leading in batting average. But that's something that's if you want some hashtag value. But with the Astros, to the bigger point is, yeah, you could expect positive regression at some point with them because it can't possibly be this bad all year. They're too good. They still have all of those guys who are too talented. Eventually, I feel like they'll right the ship. I would never play them for playoffs or division because I think they're digging themselves way too deep of a hole here. But at some point, they'll start playing better. And when it comes to that, it'll just be a game by game basis. As far as the Angels, they're dead in the water. I want nothing to do with this team. Now that Trout was the only good thing about that team because he'd hit a solo home run and miraculously Reed Detmers would be on the mound and they'd win the first five line like 1-0 and then they'd blow it, or Mike Trout would hit two home runs and we'd still get the Tungsten Armo Doyle tweets because he would do something insane and then they'd still lose like 8-3. So I want nothing to do with the Angels. They are a miserable, horrible team. I need to stop saying miserable. I've said it like 7 times already in the 10 minutes that we've done this. Anyway, neither here nor there. I want nothing to do with that team. They have no talent. They have nothing, no saving graces, but the Astros do. So it just depends on the team.
Jake, what is your strategy for betting home run props? How do you approach that?
I have a list of guys that I just like to fade in certain spots. Like, for example, tonight, Hunter Green at home. He's just not very good at home. Great American Ballpark is a launching pad. They had a home run derby there a couple of years ago. Other places like Coors Field, obviously, anytime the Rockies are at home. It just depends. Depends on the pitcher, depends on the matchups. And when I like to go look at those pitchers I want to fade, I just pull up whoever's in the lineup, their career stats against that pitcher. Like tonight, Aaron Nola does not have good history against Jorge Soler. Jorge Soler, a very prolific power hitter. So it just depends on the guys that I usually like to fade. And if there's somebody in the lineup that I like or is on a heater even, is on a hot streak, then it looks at that. But if there's a price, I am one thing about me, I will never ever play like a 2-1 home run prop. I'm good. Like, I don't need that in my life. If we're going home run props, I'd rather take bombs. I'd rather take shots. Like, Adley Rutschman tonight is 4-1. That's way more fun. Anyone could give out Yordan Alvarez at +175. Who cares? I don't want to do that. I want to try and get the hashtag value and hit a bigger one because that's way more fun. It's a home run prop.
Jake, I want to go in the opposite end now. Talk about some teams that might have started hot that you don't think have staying power. That might be, you know, playing early in the season. The biggest, hardest part about MLB is I think like the peaks and valleys that teams go through during the season. So wanted to pick your brain and see if you could give us like a team that might be starting hot, playing above expectation that you just don't feel like is going to be able to continue that throughout the season.
I might be the idiot, and I'm just going to keep dying on this hill, though. I don't like the Brewers. I just don't think they have the staying power for all season. They've gotten out to a hot start, and this is what they do. They just kind of defy expectations year over year, but I just don't really like that rotation. Freddy Peralta's awesome, but are you really telling me that you're going to rely on Joe Ross for the entire year? Colin Rea is going to get you there in the playoffs? Like, I just don't think that they're a very good team. That lineup's decent. Jackson Chourio is awesome. He's in the NL Rookie of the Year race. Tyler Black, too, they just called him up. He's at a big price for NL Rookie of the Year. I think he could have a shot. But Are we really sure that Christian Yelich's back is going to hold up for another 140 games? Are we really sure? Like, William Contreras is awesome, don't get me wrong, but just everywhere across that lineup, I just don't see it. I think that the Reds are more talented. I think that the Cubs are more talented, except when Cody Bellinger is out like he is now, and that lineup is just, ugh, God, it's gross. But I just don't like the Brewers. To a point, I don't like the Cubs, especially while Bellinger is out too. So NL Central specifically, I'm trying to beat those two teams, and I think it's the Reds. But I, if you're asking me for one team, it's the Brewers. I just don't think they have it.
Jake, last thing for you, then we will let you go. I'm asking about the White Sox again because we're both in Chicago. Have you been to a game, and have you gotten or do you plan to get the campfire milkshake? Because that's the only reason I will be attending a White Sox game this year, is to get that. Also, did you just hear that they have a Polish dog with, what is it, like pulled pork or something on top? They have some new item that sounds fantastic as well. Any interest in those?
Yeah. So I have no interest in the White Sox, but we did do this on my show, Bet Slips and Bat Flips, 2 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/BetQL, Monday through Friday. We do Foodie Friday every Friday, and we pick a ballpark item that is making the news. And today we actually did the White Sox half-pound hot dog. The problem is this thing is massive, but the bun is not proportional to the actual dog. The bun's a regular bun, but the hot dog is ridiculously long. So if you try to eat it, you're losing half the dog. It doesn't make sense. Leave it to the White Sox to chunk the one thing that you shouldn't even be able to chunk. To answer your question, though, I did go to a White Sox game for some God knows what reason. One of my friends wanted to go to the White Sox game for his birthday, and it was a last second decision because tickets were insanely cheap. So we ended up going. I did not get the campfire milkshake because it was only like 50 degrees. I was like, I'm not going to sit here. And it was nice. It was like 55. The sun was out, but I'm not going to sit there in the bleachers on a 50 degree day and drink a milkshake. So I just had like 17 beers instead, obviously.
I mean, obviously, that 17 beers milkshake, obviously, you would go with the 17 beers. Who would not? All right, Jake, thanks for your insights and for making the people some money tonight with those MLB bets. Time to make you some money with tomorrow's Kentucky Derby. Matthew DeSantis, horse racing handicapper, joins us next to break it all down here on You Bet.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
How are you bet?
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL. Let's get back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL network.
Welcome back into You Better You Bet. one more segment, and then we give out our favorite bets, our best bets for tonight across all different sports. We've got some in the NBA and NHL, but Mark, it's finally that time. We've got to talk a little derby, because that race is tomorrow, and neither you or I are expert bettors at horse racing. So to give us some insight and to help us place knowledgeable wagers for tomorrow, we're going to bring in horse racing handicapper Matthew DeSantis. He's a content producer for NYRA Bets. Matthew, really appreciate you jumping on with us today, because I know you've been very busy today. Hosted a 4.5-hour live stream. Like, literally, you probably just got off air because the Kentucky Oaks just wrapped up a little bit. I also was just watching you on my TV in front of me. I think some rerun of you breaking down the Kentucky Oaks from earlier in the day was running again. So I know you've been busy. Appreciate you jumping on. Want to get your first initial thoughts of how the Kentucky Oaks went, and were you surprised by the outcome at all?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. And it's been a great day of racing throughout, not just the Kentucky Oaks, but all the undercard races as well. But yeah, the Kentucky Oaks was really impressive. Torpedo Anna is certainly a horse that was heavily hyped coming into this race, and she was definitely one of the top contenders. I think a very predictable result in some ways among that top group of maybe three or four horses for trainer Ken McPeak. She had looked so good in her previous race right before the Kentucky Oaks. And then just FYI, finishing second, another really good horse who I think both of these fillies have really promising futures. And hopefully we see a little bit of a budding rivalry between these two moving forward. But it's a really deep crop of three-year-old fillies. And yeah, exciting results, and great to see so much engagement in the winner's circle. There are a lot of happy people there at Churchill Downs today.
Matthew, from a process perspective, what are you specifically looking for in these races? And like, how do you approach betting on these major events as opposed to weekly runnings?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think one of the things you have to take into consideration is all of these horses are going to come in with really good form. They all are coming in with wins or second place finishes, results. So it's hard to distinguish in that regard. One of the things I tend to do is I go to pace. That's the first thing that I look at in any race, and look at how the pace is going to set up. Who's going to be on the lead early? Are they going to go really fast up front, maybe too fast up front? And if so, who are the horses that make the most logical sense coming from off the pace? And so I think, you know, for people at home who are maybe just handicapping this race for the first time, or just, you know, casual fans, you just really want to look at who are the horses that are going to be up in the lead, and are there too many of those horses? In other words, are there four or five different horses that want to go up to the front? And if that's the case, then you might want to find a horse that is more comfortable sitting fifth, sixth, or seventh or further back, who can make a late run.
Matthew, when looking at these races and these horses, like, who the jockeys are matters a ton in this. What can you tell us about the jockeys that will be racing tomorrow, and if there's an edge to be had looking at things from that angle?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so you obviously, I think the Kentucky Derby is such a unique race because there's 20 horses in the field. And quite frankly, you just don't see races with that many horses in very often in North America. And as a result, I tend to really look for jockeys with a lot of experience in these big races. And I think one jockey in particular that stands out is the jockey of Catching Freedom in tomorrow's Kentucky Derby. That's Flavian Pratt. He is a jockey who's run in the Kentucky Derby six times before, and his horses have finished in the top three five of the six times. And he has a win as well just a few years ago. So he's a jockey that's been incredibly consistent in these big races. I do like those more experienced jockeys. Certainly the jockey on the morning line favorite, Fierceness, as the Hall of Famer John Velasquez. So I do tend to maybe provide a little bit more value to horses like that who have experienced jockeys on them, as opposed to a horse like Just Steel, who is jockeyed by Keith Asmussen, who's running in his very first Kentucky Derby. And that can be a pretty tough experience, and like a little bit overwhelming to undertake for the first time. So just something, another variable to keep in mind, looking at those jockeys with a lot of experience in these big races.
Okay, Matthew, do you expect the weather to play a factor in the Derby and the races throughout the day? It did look a little muddy at the Oaks.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think it certainly looks like it's raining right now still at Louisville. It does look like the weather is going to clear up or at least stop raining in the next couple of hours, and there should not be much rain throughout the rest of the day tomorrow. That said, I would still imagine the track will hold some moisture, so it might not be as sloppy as it is right now for Oaks Day, but it might just be rated as, quote, a good track, which is means that there's a little bit of moisture on the surface, and that certainly does favor certain horses over others. We've seen some horses really handle sloppy conditions very well, and other horses have not handled it particularly well. A couple of horses to keep in mind, if it is a little bit more on the wet side, certainly the horse Mystic Dan, who actually is trained by the same gentleman who trained the winner of the Kentucky Oaks, Torpedo Anna, Ken McPeak. Mystic Dan is a horse that has done his best running over a muddy track in his race two back in the Southwest Stakes. So he's one to certainly keep in mind. But the second choice on the board as well, Sierra Leone, is a horse that has run very, very well over a wet track. So there's quite a few horses that you want to pay attention to in the past performances to see who's had success over those wet tracks. You know, even the morning line favorite, Fierceness, has run well over the wet track in the past. And so those are important things to take a look at. But, yeah, absolutely could make a little bit of a factor in the race tomorrow because some horses just do not respond well to running over wet ground. And in particular, a horse like Domestic Product is one who ran over a sloppy track once and absolutely wanted no part of that a second time. And so, you know, he's one who, if it's a little bit more on the wet side, I would probably stay away from using him in my tickets.
We're talking with Matt DeSantis, content producer for NYRA Bets and horse racing handicapper. Matthew, 150th Kentucky Derby tomorrow. Who's winning it?
Well, my top choice is Catching Freedom. And this is a horse for trainer Brad Cox. He's 8-1 on the morning line. And he has the aforementioned Flavian Pratt aboard on the mount. What I love about this horse is he's gotten faster every single race out. He's coming off a victory in the Louisiana Derby last time. He's won over a different track at Oaklawn Park as well. So he's won over multiple surfaces. He actually broke his maiden in his very first race at Churchill Downs. So he has experience at the track for tomorrow as well. He's just a really nice horse that can come from off the pace. I expect there to be a lot of speed early in the race tomorrow. And he's a horse that will do his best running late, should absolutely love the added distance. And I look for him running late, but I really like him. And you're going to get a little bit of a price. Like I said, he's 8-1 on the morning line. I think he might float up to as much as 10-1 in the race. But I think he's a really good value play and a horse I'm really interested in using for a win bet tomorrow.
Love it. Matthew, let's look ahead, if we can, to the Preakness and the Belmont. Any thoughts on that? Like who we could possibly be targeting or if there's like a potential horse that could be in the running for a Triple Crown this year?
Well, I think it's a great question. So I'll answer the second part first and to say that if Fierceness, who is the morning line favorite tomorrow in the Kentucky Derby, if he wins the Kentucky Derby, he, I think, does stand a very legitimate chance of being able to do the Triple Crown. He is a horse with huge outcome variability, I like to say. When he is brilliant, he is mind-boggling. He is so good. When he is bad, look the other direction. But his best is so much better than everybody else. He's just not consistent. But if he can start putting it together, he absolutely is a horse that could be a threat potentially to run the Triple Crown. I think this is a very evenly matched group. So outside of him, I'm not sure there's a horse in this three-year-old crop that I think can really run the table and get the Triple Crown. But he certainly is a very capable horse who could do that. In terms of looking ahead to the Preakness, I think one of the more interesting storylines is the continued suspension of Bob Baffert, the trainer from California, from running his horses at Churchill Downs. As a result, he has a fleet of excellent three-year-old horses who have had to skip the Kentucky Derby and who will be showing up to run in the Preakness. So in particular, he has a horse named Muth, M-U-T-H. And Muth is a very nice horse who I think he's going to be able to show up and run a really big race at Pimlico. Bob Baffert has won the Preakness 8 times before. So he's got a lot of success running there. And that's one to keep an eye on as a new shooter, so to speak, coming into that race. But, you know, obviously the big question will always be the turnaround because there's only 2 weeks between the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. And so a lot of these horses that are running on Saturday might very well skip the Preakness and go to the Belmont Stakes instead, which is 5 weeks out. So it gives them a little bit more time for their horses to recover.
Matthew, for those that want to bet an exacta or a trifecta, what advice do you have on approaching that? And are there any bets with those that you can give us, just give out to us for those that might not even know how to do that?
Yeah, exactly. So an exacta is the top two horses, and the trifecta is the top three horses. And you can do something called a box as well. So if you do an exacta box, it means the two horses that you select could finish first, second, or second, first. They can finish in any order. So I typically like to get first-time players to play boxes. There's a little less pressure than having to predict exactly who's going to finish first or second. If you like these two or three horses, you can put them in a box together, and that's, I think, a really effective way to bet. Listen, I'm obviously going to be using Catching Freedom, and my general advice to people is feel free to take a little bit of a swing. And I would always say take a little bit of a swing with a horse that's a little bit of a longer shot and pair that horse with one of the favorites. So I'm going to probably pair a horse like Catching Freedom with Fierceness as my exacta bet tomorrow. And I'll probably do an exacta box. So if Fierceness does run first and Catching Freedom runs second, I'll still be able to hit that win. And so I think taking a little bit of a swing at a big price and using it combined with a horse like Fierceness or the second choice, Sierra Leone, I think using those horses together in those bets is the best way to make sure that people have a good time and a winning time at the track. So that's kind of one of the historical trends that we've seen is merge a price with a favorite. And I think it could work out nicely for your listeners if they do that tomorrow.
All right, last thing for you, Matthew. Thoughts on mint juleps? Have you ever tried one? Are you interested in having one? Or are they your go-to cocktail?
What is my go-to cocktail tomorrow? I do love a good mint julep. There's no two ways about it. I will be honest, I'm not as much of a cocktail person as much as I'm going to be diving into plenty of derby pies and bourbon balls. I do love those because I have a bit of a sweet tooth. And so love that. But usually for me, it's just a straight Woodford Reserve bourbon. And that's what I like to sip on Kentucky Derby Day. But it is it's always a fun day to mix a couple of drinks up. And I have a friend of mine who lives down in Georgia who's hosting a bourbon party tomorrow. So, you know, wherever you're listening and, you know, wherever you might be watching the Derby tomorrow, have a favorite cocktail and enjoy a lot of great racing because it's not just the Derby. There's going to be great racing starting at noon tomorrow and going all throughout the day. So there's so many great races and so many wonderful horses and great storylines as well.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds delicious. You know how to do it. A little bourbon, a little pie. I love it. I'm jealous. Enjoy the races tomorrow, Matthew, and appreciate you jumping on, especially with your busy day today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
That is Matthew DeSantis, horse racing handicapper, and you can check out the content over at NYRA Bets, covering all things horse racing. I mean, the guy knows his stuff. Just listening to him talk, like, I need to go back and listen to that whole interview again multiple times before the Derby tomorrow and just do exactly what he told us, because he's got to figure it out. Plus, the bourbon, he's going to a bourbon party tomorrow, and what's a bourbon ball? That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, bourbon ball sounds good. I mean, he was firing off the drinks. Sounds like he's ready, but really insightful in regards to, you know, the horses you want to back in the weather, the jockeys he went into detail with. I thought that was great information. And then also, you know, when he talked about Baffert not being able to run at the Kentucky Derby, having a bunch of guys, a bunch of horses, so to speak, lined up, you know, to race at the Belmont and these other races, definitely something to, you know, put in the old, mental pocket to pull out a little bit later as we get into those races.
So a bourbon ball looks delicious. I just looked it up. Chocolate, like a little candy, a chocolate ball infused with bourbon. I would have 75 of those.
Too many.
If I were there tomorrow. Enough, like I imagine you're not getting enough bourbon to like feel anything or feel tipsy at all. I would make sure I had enough because chocolate and, you know, bourbon, alcohol. Fantastic, fantastic combo. I would be all over those. A little breaking news here. Jared Allen for the Cavs tonight, jumping over from bourbon balls to the NBA. Jared Allen is listed out tonight, so he will miss his second straight game. Won't be playing tonight for the Cavs. Yikes, Mark. I was on the under because Allen was out. Like, that was part of my handicap, not the whole thing, but a little part of it. So we will discuss if I'm going to adjust my strategy for this game on the other side of the break as we give out all of our best bets in our Power Hour, our final segment here on You Better You Bet. That's next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Let's get back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
I'm Kate Constable. He's Mark Drumheller. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. We're going to give you our best bets in just a few moments. We've got games tipping off here. Well, in just a few moments, Cavs and Magic game 6 starting at 6 o'clock, and then Clippers Mavericks following that game. Also game 6 tonight. We just talked a little Kentucky Derby in the last segment, and I'm thoroughly confused at a lot of how to bet the Kentucky Derby. There's so much terminology, Mark. I think I've narrowed it down. The exacta that Matthew DeSantis told us to bet, or said there might be, you know, a good shot of that hitting, catching freedom and fierceness. So that might be something I have some money on tomorrow, is those two. But obviously, probably better to stick with what I know best, which is not horse racing. Basketball, hockey, literally anything else is what I will be putting my money on tonight and tomorrow.
You can always just have some bourbon and, you know, pick the gray one. That's what I like to do. That's really my Kentucky Derby handicap. You know, I pour some bourbon and I pick the gray horse and we root them on.
I mean, I kind of just want to go with, like, the names that I like the best. Forever Young is fun. Epic Ride. I mean, 63-1, Epic Ride. That's going to be an epic ride if he wins. So why not go with that name, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's a bad horse, right? 63-1. that's like, you know, you might as well parlay it with the White Sox money line.
Or Mugatu at 87-1. Yikes.
There you go. Got to put some more money in my BetMGM sportsbook app after you bet that one.
Seriously. Yeah. But, I mean, watching the Derby, going to Derby parties, having a little bourbon, you can't go wrong with any of that. Especially those bourbon balls. Philosophy. Like, that makes me want a little chocolate and a little bourbon tonight. That might be what my evening looks like here in a little bit.
Nice.
Oh, man. Shall we get to our best bets, right?
Let's dive into some bets.
Jared Allen out once again. Just a reminder there, we just learned that Jared Allen is out tonight for the Cavs with that rib injury, sitting out his second straight game. And Cavs barely won game 5 with him out. Magic trying to keep their season alive tonight. This is a stupid question, but if you had the opportunity tonight to go to Mavericks, Clippers, or Cavs Magic, which game are you choosing?
Well, I would definitely go to Clippers Mavericks, but part of it is I've never been to Dallas, right? So that's kind of like a key thing. Like, I always thought, like, it'd be fun to go to Texas just because it's part of the country that I haven't been to. I've been to Orlando plenty of times. I've been to Disney more times than I can count going back in the summer. So Orlando, not that big of a destination for me, but I would like to get to a live game in Dallas, whether it's like, hey, maybe I go in enemy territory and check out a Cowboys game, or, you know, maybe I check out a Mavericks game, but would like to get down to Texas at some point.
I know you probably go to Disney because you have children, Mark. Are you a Disney adult? Do we need to have a talk?
I am. I do like it. Like, I really do enjoy myself there, and we've been to a couple of them. So I've been to Florida, I've been to the one in LA or California, you know, I'm not sure exactly where it is, but I've been to that one.
Anaheim.
We went to the one in Paris last summer. So that was cool. So I like, yeah. So But, you know, we've been to a couple of them, and I do like it. I mean, the kids have fun. It's always a great time. It's, you know, it's hard not to have fun at Disney. Now, it's rough. You're out there, especially if you have young children. It can be a long day, right? You're putting in some hours. You're going to sleep good at night. The park's big. But, you know, I do enjoy Disney. I've never had a bad time there.
I did not know that there was a Disney in Paris. Is there a Disney in other countries too? Does every country have their own Disney?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if every country has their own Disney, but I know there's some in Asia and there's some in some different parts. So yeah, but there is one in Paris that we went last summer. It was cool.
Wow. But would you ever go without kids?
Probably not, because I've been there so many times, right? I would probably pick somewhere that I haven't been to, you know what I mean? That's kind of the key, is like, you know, like I've been there so many times now that like I would probably choose something else. But if I've never been to Disney, and I kind of knew about Disney, I wouldn't have a problem going without kids. Like, I still think it's fun, you know, it's a great atmosphere. So yeah, I mean, I would like it, you know, all the amenities, everything's great. Like, it's not a bad time. I mean, I do like, we went on a Disney cruise too. I think that was like 2 years ago, two or three years ago. That was a lot of fun. They had like the water slide that went like around the ship, and it was like clear. Wow. So you could see yourself like going around, and you would go like over the water, like outside of the actual, you know, structure of the ship. So you're kind of like, you know, on top of the ocean a little bit, and they would go around the entire ship. So that was fun. The Disney cruise is cool, but yeah, we've done a lot of Disney stuff, man. Disney vacations are pretty good. They take care of you.
I've been to Disney once when I was really young, and I have not been back yet. I imagine one day down the road when I have children, I will be taking them to Disney. I also have never been on a cruise, and that's something I want to do. My whole family gets seasick. I'm the only person that doesn't. So we were never a cruise family growing up. But I would love to do a cruise. And the water slide, I've seen those water slides.
You don't want to,
you don't want the yacht to be the first time you're on the water.
Yeah. So you got to prepare for the yacht.
Yeah. When we are the highest paid coaches in college football, kind of like Kirby Smart, or when we hit a multiple trifectas tomorrow in the Kentucky Derby and we are millionaires, then we'll be buying a yacht and vacationing on the yacht. Then we don't have to do Disney cruise. We can do our own style Disney cruise. That's the plan. All right, Jake, let's play that dope ass beat and get to some best bets for tonight. As a reminder, BetMGM is introducing the MLB Grand Slam Jackpot, a weekly bet and get promotion. Place a $10 or more wager on any player to hit a home run each weekend. If your player hits a Grand Slam, you can win the $50,000 daily prize. It's not quite 130 mil, but 50 grand. I would still take that. You can win that or a share of the prize with every other winning bettor. Details can be found at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Start winning with the king of sportsbooks. Also, download the BetQL app for all the tools you need to take down the sportsbooks, including five-star plays like tonight's in Vancouver and Nashville. The Canucks and Preds over 5.5 goals is a four-star play tonight. All right, Mark, start us off. I know you have a couple individual bets, so then let's hear the multi-sport parlay you've got cooking up.
Yeah, so individual bets is part of the multi-sport parlay. So we'll start with baseball, and I like the Cleveland Guardians against the Angels. Jake talked about the Angels. They're cooked. Money line, just lay the -205. It seems like a lot for a baseball game. Bibby's on the mound. He should be fine. Angels 2-11 last 13. Love the Guardians here. So playing that. Another leg of the three-sport parlay is going to be the Dallas Stars in the NHL. I like them on the puck line, -1.5. I love taking these teams in elimination games on the puck line because the other teams get desperate. They pull their goalie early. So instead of just playing the money line, play the puck line, get a little extra value there. And then the last leg of the three-sport parlay is the Mavericks money line, but that's way too juicy to bet on your own. We talked about the team total. So if you're looking for a single bet, that's the way to approach it. Go over the team total, 108.5. You can get it right around -115 at the BetMGM app. And also a couple bets for the UFC, UFC 301 this weekend in the main event, Alexandra Pantoja against Steve Erceg. I like this one to go over 3.5 rounds. You're going to pay a little bit of a price. It's, you know, probably around 130 or whatnot. But this is a fight, these main events. I think Pantoja is a guy who's never been knocked out or submitted. He has the durability. So I think this one does go over, goes well into the fourth round, probably into the decision. Another total I like in that one, Kate, is the under in Prieta Potiera. I think it goes under 1.5 rounds. Two explosive fighters. They're just going to go out there and swing to the middle. So I think it's fireworks in the first round. Bet the under 1.5 rounds at minus 150 at BetMGM.
I like it. I'm going to go Cavs Magic. This number has ticked up a little bit because, I mean, I don't know if exactly because of the Jarrett Allen news, but I would suspect. I'm going to take the under, which I like that the line has actually gone up a little bit. Under 201, do some shopping out there. There are some 201s in the market. I would take the under there. Orlando's defense at home has been great. Cavs offense has struggled on the road. This is a must-win situation for Orlando, the home team. And Cavs defense is better on the road as well. Cavs offense, bad. Cavs defense, better. So taking the under there, I also like Franz Wagner over 6.5 rebounds. He's averaging 7.5 in this series. He's finished over this number in 3 of the 5 games, and he's averaging 14 potential rebounds per game. So getting quite a few there. And then I like Paolo Banchero over 4.5 assists. He's averaging right at 4.5. Again, going to those potential assists, almost 11 per game. So getting over 4.5, we just need 5. That's fine. He can surpass that tonight. And then going over to Mavs and Clippers. I'm going to take the over in the first quarter. I grabbed it at 50.5. It's up to 51.5. So do with that what you will. I would still be comfortable playing it, but again, I'm not going to take it at 51 because I have it at 50. But either way, the Mavs have to get off to a hot start because in games that they haven't, that they've dug themselves a hole, they haven't been able to climb out of that, and that's when they've lost. So they know that their offense needs to come ready to play from the jump, and the Clippers, backs against the wall, they need to win tonight. They can't afford a slow start either. They can't afford to be playing from behind. So I think we get a good start from both of these teams tonight. A high-scoring affair early on. I'm going first quarter, over 50.5. And I would play the over 51.5. I'm going to say I'm okay with that if that's the line that you can get it at. All right, Mark, best of luck tomorrow in the Derby. Have some mint juleps. Have some bourbon balls. And enjoy the dance competition as well. I know you have that this weekend.
Absolutely. We're going to put the work in, and then we're going to enjoy the fights at night, so it should be a fun weekend.
That's right. We got horse racing, we've got dancing, and we've got fighting. Nothing better. Great combo. That's a trifecta right there. Thanks so much for joining us here on You Better You Bet. I'm Kate Constable. He's Mark Drumheller. We will see you next time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to You Better You Bet. Up next, it's BetMGM Tonight on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.